afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday. I'm sorry, Thursday. Hey, it began with a T. I got that
part
right.
And it had day in it.
And it had day in it.
Yeah, so it was close.
An S.
Yeah.
It has an S.
There's a lot of similarities there.
Technicalities, I'll tell you. You know, hey, it's December 29th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
I was talking to Greg Hunter, just connected, just right at the top of the hour, and you know how he is. So it's kind of contagious. So, you know, I'm kind of blah, 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 blah. God bless Greg Hunter and his wife. They do a great job. And so.
At USAWatchdog.com.
At USAWatchdog.com. So. Gold today. Maybe gold was talking to Greg Hunter this morning, because we had gold was up $17 at the peak of the day, and we're still looking at the New York spot price aftermarket at $1,490 for gold at $1,157.60. Silver is up 16 cents at $1,623. Platinum was up $1 at $903, and palladium was up 7 at $678. The USDX today, whew, is down. Hallelujah. Down 0.53 at 102.69. You have crude oil down 30 at 53.76. Paper markets today. Let me get the current sheet on those. I don't think we had a triple-digit down day, but there was pressure on it. Oh, we did. At the end, we did. It popped down 112 points, 19,821 down. Oh, it came through 113. There's some final numbers coming through, and we're looking at 113.
That's interesting because I've got the same number. I got 19,821 down, but they say at Kitco, they say it's down $12.
I wouldn't believe anything that Kitco on what Kitco shows on, you know, because they have delayed. And I wouldn't believe any of those numbers that they show on there, but
well, I understand that there's a 10-minute delay, but
anyway,
it dropped another 100 points on top of that in the last 10 minutes. Then
that's why I said at the last minute you had to dial down 113. But Kitco really doesn't do a good job in keeping the numbers accurate or up to date, so I never base any of my numbers off coming from that website. The NASDAQ was down 6 points at 54.32. The S&P down 14 at 22.49. And we're looking at the 10-year yield. That dropped 0.07 at 2.48%. Japan was down 1.3%. Other markets were basically unchanged. And remember, it was just a little bit of a week ago, we were looking at the fear and greed index, what emotion was driving the market. You had greed at about, 87, 88, 89. It dropped kind of quick, down 65. So, you know, I wonder what that consumer confidence is going to be looking like in another month. And perhaps...
It's going to be interesting things are may happen starting next week. Again, I listened to Michael Pinto he was explaining relative to bonds, and I didn't understand the entire, and I don't remember his entire explanation, but it goes to, there will be after the first of the year, they'll be able to sell bonds and stocks, apparently, without incurring the same taxes that would be incurred right now, if they sold today. And the implication is, he thought that as a result, after the first of the year, we would see a lot of people who own stocks and bonds that would sell in order to take advantage of what the expected lower rates when Trump takes office.
Well, yeah, it's just a little, you know, if you're expecting Trump to drop rates, why wouldn't you sell unless you're carrying losses? And I don't see the only people that might be carrying losses is the gold market. So you might be able to sell some of those paper shares if they're down, but I think from the beginning of the year, they're still up. In fact, gold is still up almost 10%
on
the
year.
Not a little over 9, closer to 10. So we're looking at almost 10% for gold. So gold really had a very good year.
It had a super good first half of the year, and then it wasn't quite so good for the second half.
There are going to be so many things. When I was just talking to Greg, and we were talking about the amount of inflation that's coming in this country, he says, you have to remember what Trump said. He says he's looking to push inflation to 20%. Well, you know, that could be a lot of talk, but Trump wants inflation. We know that. Trump wants a lower dollar. We know that. Things are going to be so volatile because these markets, you know, it's all one good thing when you see markets expecting, you know, $1 billion or $1 trillion being spent on infrastructure, and, you know, all these corporations are, you know, going up, buying back and whatever. It does give you a little bit of, you know, optimism that things, you know, will be better. But
they will be for
reality,
a while.
Reality. That's what we got to talk about. Reality.
Oh, that's and, no fun, Melody.
Oh, it is, because reality is going to be very volatile next year. And I know I've said that 20 times already, probably in just the short 3 minutes we've been on the air. But I think Trump will do a lot of good, but I think within that good comes the bad. And there, things can be fixed, but not without a price.
I don't even know that things can be fixed. They can be attempted to be fixed. I don't doubt that. And Trump, you know, we'll see. Trump may look at things. I don't doubt that Trump looks at things differently than I do. And he has access to more resources and whatever than I do. And he might be right and I may be wrong. But I still think Trump is, you know, he's got a situation here that will not be easily dealt with. And if he thinks he can get out by causing 20% inflation, well, he may be able to mitigate things a little bit, but still there's trouble ahead. And I think it's significant, and I don't think it can be dodged forever.
Can you even imagine what this economy would do in people's purchasing power if we get 20% inflation? 15, 10%. We're probably already about, what, 6 or 7% inflation.
There you go again, Melody. Didn't I explain to you we don't want to talk about reality?
It certainly isn't 2% when your health insurance goes up 60%. So, you know, there is still a lot of inflation in this country, but it's just not quite where they want it. We're not seeing it in certain places. But we did have the dollar surge about 5% since Trump won the election on November 8th. And so folks, we've got great prices on gold and silver. And anyone who says that gold is going to go to $700 by mid-2017, they're nuts. They're crazy. It's not going to happen.
Well, if it does and you have any cash, it could be cause for celebration. It'll be irritating to anybody who's holding on to it, and you've got to...
They're trying to scare people out of their gold. I understand that.
I don't even know if it's intended to scare people or just attract attention. It's like seeing the bearded lady at the carnival.
Now.
I don't even know if she's really got a beard or she just pastes that thing on there and makes it look like she's got a beard. We go to see, you know, if you make outrageous statements, you attract attention, and sometimes I think that's the only point.
Look at me, I said something outrageous. True. But unfortunately, there's a deeper meaning behind it. It's because they're trying to attract the people's investments. They're trying to take their money. So to me, it's just not attracting attention. But it hurts people. It hurts people, and that's not right. And so anyway, a couple of, there was an initial estimate out of the Commerce Department about trade. The country exported $1.2 billion less in November than in October, but imports rose by $2.2 billion during the month. But we won't get the full trade report for November until January 6th.
And what does that reflect? The increasing trade imbalance. It's just the dollar went up.
Exactly.
So dollar index went up. Dollars are more expensive now than they were a month or two ago. And as a result, people don't want to pay in dollars, and they don't want to pay the dollar price because the dollars are worth more today than they were 6 weeks ago and 8 weeks ago.
So how do you think Trump is going to reverse that? You have to have a
lower dollar.
He's going
to have to inflate.
Yep.
He's going to have to inflate, get out of this deflationary sector, effect on the U.S. dollar index, cause inflation, watch the dollar drop back down to 92, 93, where it was, I don't know, 6 months ago or whenever. But if he's serious about causing inflation, that will be one of the results. It will tend to diminish the trade deficit. Mm-hmm. People will be buying because the dollars will be cheaper.
So I just want people
more
to
competitive.
I just want people to understand that when we talk about it, when you hear on coming out of Washington and so forth, all the good things that are going to happen, you know, what makes them, what will make them happen doesn't mean that the world is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still got some serious things to go through, and the best place
whole
to
world
preserve
has serious
the whole
things
world
to go.
And it hasn't even started yet. And what I was talking to someone earlier today, okay, the elite. It looks like the elite are being beaten, not just by here in the States, but in Britain, and you have elections in Germany and France, and you see in other places around the world that has elections, and they are bringing in these populists and so forth, but certainly Mr. Trump is the biggest of the news. How is the elite going to strike back? And you have to bet and be sure they will strike back. They're just not going to say, oh, gee, sorry, go ahead and do what you need to do. To me...
Yeah, we'll come back in 8 years and maybe we can win an election.
No, to me, they can still create wars.
I know,
and Trump can create wars. So I think that's very much a possibility.
You know, if Trump causes 20% inflation, assuming that's a true story, and assuming that Trump was able to do that, it will cause a corresponding amount of deflation in foreign countries like China and Japan. If our dollar becomes worth less, it's going to improve our trade situation because people don't want to buy American products. And as we got the teeter-totter effect we talk about on this program from time to time, dollar sits on one end of the teeter-totter, the other currencies, fiat currencies, sit on the other end. If Trump can cause 20% inflation in this country, he's going to contribute to deflation in Japan and China and the European Union.
But that's not necessary.
Some of them are going to get angry enough where at least a trade war might erupt. Right? This is not a situation where we just caused 20% inflation and there are no consequences. No, by doing that on this teeter-totter, we're going to cause some significant deflation for foreign countries that depend on exports, their exports to make money. And they're going to be angry about that, and where that goes, hard to say. But it's not a closed, we'll just cause 20% or 30% or 5%, whatever we want, and there's no consequences. There's going to be consequences. This is no free lunch.
So again, I think this is where we're going to see a lot of volatility in the markets, and I think gold and silver will explode. I think we'll go back to seeing $50 moves, $100 moves in gold. I can't tell you what day. I'm not going to tell you what month. I'm not going to tell you if it's the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or fourth quarter. I will tell you it's going to be in 2017 and into 2018.
Will the month have an R in it?
It'll,
it's kind of like oysters. You can either you can or you can't.
Maybe.
If it's a month with an R in it.
I was going to save this little article for tomorrow, and you know, since it's the end of the year, this I thought it was kind of interesting because this article came out of Japan, and it's the Yomiuri Shimbun. I'm not sure if that's the name of the newspaper or the writer of the article, or if they have writers, or if it's a government type. It reminded me of more of a government. Because as they were listing the various things that happened of importance around the world in 2016, you saw these little sentences in there that, you know, sort of talked down populism and so forth. But anyway, this came out of Japan. And it goes on that and what it is, they ranked the events, the top 10 international news events for 2016. And I guess this is a newspaper because these are chosen by the Yomiuri Shimbun readers. And I'm not going to go down through the whole list, but of course, the number one was Donald Trump. Number two was, they don't even have them in order. And I believe ranked second on the list was also the referendum in Britain. Those who supported the exit from the European Union. the Panama Papers. I think a lot of people forgot about those. This was ranked fifth on the list, and the Panama Papers were the internal documents leaked from a law firm in the Central American country of Panama, and it revealed how world leaders and wealthy people have used tax havens. Then they go on and
hide their bribes.
Then they go on and they talk about a French presidential election and a German general election. They go back to the populism again that they think will be important for 2017. Let's see what else they have. The Philippines, the Rodrigo Duterte. He was inaugurated as president after serving as a mayor of the local city. This was ranked number 11. He gains public popularity with his extreme remarks. You also had the Court of Arbitration in The Hague handed down a ruling where there were no legal grounds for China's claims in South China Sea. That was kind of ranked number 15. I don't think the Japan newspaper knows how to count. But you had North Korea went ahead with nuclear tests twice this year alone. And they have engaged in repeated provocations, including the ballistic missile launches. That was actually number 7. You had the South Korean president. She was impeached. They didn't even put a number on that. Then they talked about the terrorists, the terrorism in the French city of Nice and people that were celebrating Bastille Day. That was ranked like, you know, number 12 and so forth. So I just, there was a couple of those that I actually forgot about the Panama Papers, and I thought that was kind of interesting. But this is how people in Japan, this is, you know, I wonder if you talk to the average GDP out there, the general populace out there, if...
That would be GP as opposed to GDP. What did you mean by the D?
I usually call them dumb. The generally dumb public populace. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my GDP.
You know, the one thing about it that the list points out, I've forgotten a bunch of it. It really does point out, I mean, if you had to pick right off the top of your head without any review of any documents that said, okay, tell us the 10 biggest stories for the past year. I wonder how many people there are in this country that could think of more than Trump. Trump won, Hillary lost. Give me a third one. It's almost astonishing how quickly we forget, and there's that old saw, those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. We have a problem learning from history.
Do we forget, or are we just pummeled with so much information?
Well, I think that's, in my case, I did not forget, Melody. I just don't remember what it is. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I would like to remind listeners that many took advantage of that low price for the quarter-ounce American Gold Eagles at $305. I can no longer do them at $305. They have increased. I ran out of those, and I had to repurchase, reprice, and we have them for $313. Quarter-ounce American Gold Eagles. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay. Got a fire sale going on here, Melody.
Yeah, goody.
Yep. Hillary Clinton's book now at 86% discount. This is according to a publication called The American Mirror. With this one, all sales are likely final. Twitter user LGBT for Trump shared an image of Hillary Clinton's audio version of Hard Choices at a remarkable 86% off the original price. According to the Twitter, it said, Dear 2016, The Price of Failure, at an Ollie's bookstore, Clinton's book was marked down to just $4.99. from $34.95, The Price of Failure, I have a song, of course, that Hillary might be singing. This would be an appropriate song for Hillary.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it seems as if they're here to say, oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the politician that I used to be. There's indictments hanging over me. Oh, I believe in yesterday. What do you think, Melody?
Well, thank... Very good. Very nice. But thank goodness.
You wanted me to do a couple more?
I could probably
come up with a couple more choruses on it.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Good. That's as much as we can handle
not
today.
As much, yes.
All right. But, you know, there's a point to that. And we were talking about the avalanche of news that afflicts all of us. And we're speculating at the end of the first segment of the program on the possibility that avalanche is intended to conceal things. There's so much news out there. How do you pick what's important? Right? There's all kinds of things. I mean, oh my God, the Kardashians, I don't know, one of their zippers wasn't completely zipped or something. That's, for a lot of people, that's big news. And to some degree, we are all tempted to take a peek. It's like the National Enquirer. You know, you go to the grocery store and there was the National Enquirer sitting there at the checkout. And you could read the headline. You would not pick it up because, you know, it didn't have a good reputation. But you'd still be looking to see what kind of gossip did they have. Where do we get the real news? And part of the result of having an avalanche of news coming at us all the time is that no matter what happens yesterday, we're going to get another avalanche of news today and another one on Friday and another one on Saturday. And every day we get another new avalanche, and it's hard to keep track of what's going on when you got another avalanche, another haystack of news to look at and try to sort through and say, okay, this is important, this is trivial, I don't even want to look at that, I'm not going to waste my time on the trivial. But it's not easy to keep your eye on what is relevant and important at any given moment. And Hillary is something, she's something of an example on this idea of the avalanche of daily news. Hillary Clinton ran for the presidency of the United States, and she's already old news. She's gone, right? Donald Trump He has already taken over the presidency, and he hasn't even officially entered the office. Obama is, to some extent, old news already. He's still got his finger in the pie, and he'll undoubtedly pull a couple more stunts in the next couple of weeks. But to some extent, it's as if Trump is already president, and Obama, he's gone. I don't know, where is he? Maybe got a job as a caddy at one of the golf clubs. It just moves so fast, and these avalanches of news, they just seem to bury things. If you're not current, you know, you see things at Yahoo, trending now. Who's hot right this minute? Andy Warhol used to say we would all one day get our 15 minutes of fame. Right now, I don't think that's true. I think we're all going to get about 30 seconds of fame. And no matter what it is, hey, I just won the Nobel Prize. Yeah. And the next day, nobody remembers you. So I don't know what to make of it other than we were talking, is it information overload? Are we just too ignorant, ill-equipped to deal with the avalanche of news? Is the avalanche of news manufactured? Is it real news? Is it fake news? I don't know. So I think one of the big challenges in life is trying to find sources of information that are reliable and relevant. And that's not easily done. Reliable and relevant. What else do we need, Melody, besides reliability and relevance? And probably not too
financial
expensive.
Financial survival?
Probably not too expensive. If the news is free. Hey, there's something. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, all you need is financial survival. Yeah. Your financial news. And I've been told by many people that in this venue where we do the program, and we're very, you know, I mean, certainly that you hear Dave Ramsey across this country and so forth, but you're not going to find him on shortwave and everything else. I hear that very few people talk about the economy. Very few people talk about what we talk about on this program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are here for a reason. And I think here at the end of the year, here's another interesting article. We're going to be talking about news and financial. The big headline is the golden era of hedge funds draw to a close with clients in revolt.
Yeah.
You have, you know, you have these big hedge fund titans. You know, remember right before the collapse, you had all of these, and even the oil company that was Enron, they had all these big parties, all these costume parties, masquerade parties. They were spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for silly balloons and so forth. Well, it's sort of the same thing. These hedge funds are just have made such a lot of money, and not on the performance,
yeah,
just on fees. On fees alone. And they say that this year has marked the beginning of the end of hedge funds as we've known them. Their investors are joining a growing revolt spurred by years in which fund managers grew rich while producing little in way of returns. In 2016, big money clients finally decided to bail. One New York City official said, let them sell their summer homes and jets and return those fees to investors. There has been a massive blowback from public pension funds and private endowments. This comes from a Greg Heffron, who co-founded his Scroggins Capital Management nearly 30 years ago. And he says that many chief investment officers are so fed up with what they would prefer to entrust their cash to a trader who charged no management fee over one who did, even if they expected the latter to make them more money. So they're willing to pay no fees and make less money than pay somebody, maybe in the hopes of making more money. But public retirement plans from Kentucky to New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island have decided to pull money from hedge funds.
Yeah. So big did time. Record-breaking withdrawals from hedge funds. And this is what's interesting about the story, is this is happening at the same time that the stock market, the paper indexes, are making record highs. They're also having record high withdrawals from hedge funds.
But absolutely. Client withdrawals, $53 billion in the last four quarters, drove some of the managers out of business, including Better and Richard Perry, who until recently had managed one of the longest standing and better performing firms. But you also had University in Maryland, MetLife. They're all ready to follow suit, pulling money out of hedge funds. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of changes. And but it took a while for investors to figure out just what they were being charged. And they got ripped. They got creamed on the fees that these hedge funds were charging. And there was a fund with $5 billion under management and a 5% return collected at least $100 million from the management fee, while it got roughly half that amount from its piece of investment gains. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are some incredible. So a lot of changes are coming. And, you know, these are all prior to, these are things that happen right before the big changes occur. You know, the big money and these hedge funds, they're taking their money and they're running. And they're also, that's what's happening. Steve Cohen, you know, he was one of the biggest of the hedge funds. You know, now he's trying to sell his fancy palace in the sky. He doesn't have any takers. He has it on the market for $115 million. He dropped the price to, what, $67 million. So, you know, couldn't happen to a better... Of course, he's probably has money down in Panama that he's hid away. And so, I mean... You know, they did do some good. They did help the city of New York, but certainly the people in retirement systems like of Texas and so forth, they haven't done so well. And all those fees come out of your retirement accounts, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. Everybody's scrambling to make a buck. Not everybody is scrambling to deliver a good service at a fair price. And there's question of morality, a question of ethics there. And it's always been there, but maybe not to the same extent we see it right now. When people get so desperate to make a dollar that they will do almost anything, it's evidence of some sort of a moral collapse. It's conducive to a moral degradation, degeneration. It's at least conducive to it, and maybe it's causing it. Maybe it is a reflection of a loss of morality, but people are under a lot of financial stress, and that's why they do crazy things. Not because they're bad people necessarily, but because they're weak people and they're desperate people. And they're all of a sudden they have to take certain risks and cross certain lines in order to try to maintain the appearance of their prosperity or their status or whatever. All of it, if it's true that we're seeing more evidence of what may be a kind of immorality or an amorality in the markets, in business in general. If it's true that we're seeing more of that amorality, it points to more difficult times. And if it's true, what's the antidote for an immoral monetary system, Melody?
Today, quarter ounce American Gold Eagles at $313.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, real money. Real money. Again, we talk about it in the program from time to time. we think the primary problem this country is facing is we have a completely false, fraudulent monetary system. And it has worked for 40, 50 years, maybe longer.
Longer.
Well, depending on it. You know, I mean, we still had silver backing until 1968, so... It wasn't a pure fiat currency till after 1971, so it depends on where you want to draw the line. You could say 1971, you could say 1968, you could say 1933.
Well, yeah, so people couldn't use it anymore as money, so
they couldn't use gold. They still had silver. They still couldn't had silver gold. Though throughout the balance of the Great Depression. But when we got completely off of an asset-based monetary system, that opened the door for people in government to be able to simply write a check that no one would ever redeem. They structured the system where the government just spends, the government in conjunction with the Federal Reserve, in conjunction with the banks in this country, they spend currency out of thin air. And they say, oh, it's a wonderful thing. We're stimulating the economy, but you can't use these debt-based monetary instruments. You can't just pile them up and pile them up and pile them up and think you're going to get away with it forever. Sooner or later, the debt either has to be paid or repudiated, and we can't do either. We can't pay the debt, can't repudiate the debt. What are we going to do? There's going to be a calamity, all right? Don't know when, but I am unable to see a way of getting around this. It's just a question of how much longer can they kick the can down the road? And I don't know. You know, they've done a great job of kicking the can down the road so far, but you look at it and you think, I don't know. I don't think they can do this much longer.
Well, this report just came out. Now, Obama orders Russia expulsions, sanctions for interference in 2016 elections. This is Reuters.
Expulsion from what?
From the U.S. I'm just reading this now. On Thursday, he ordered 35 Russian diplomats and sanctioned Russian intelligence officers who Washington believes were involved in hacking U.S. political groups in the 2016 presidential election. Ordered the expulsion. The measures taken during the last days, blah, blah, blah. Was not. Let me see if I can read down this a little bit further. I just pulled this up 2 seconds ago. Obama said the State Department declared as a persona non grata 35 Russian intelligence operatives and is closing two Russian compounds in New York and Maryland that were used by Russian personnel for intelligence-related purposes. The State Department originally said the 35 were diplomats. A senior U.S. official told Reuters the move would affect the Russian embassy in Washington and consulate in San Francisco. The Russians have 72 hours to leave the United States. Access to the two compounds, which are used by Russian officials for intelligence gathering, will be denied to all Russian officials as of noon on Friday. These actions were taken to respond to Russian harassment of American diplomats and actions by the diplomats that we have assessed to be not consistent with diplomatic practice. Then there were, by imposing costs on the Russian diplomats of the United States by denying them access to their two facilities, we hope the Russian government reevaluates, blah, blah, blah. The U.S. official declined to name the Russian diplomats who would be affected, although it is understood that Russia's ambassador to the United States, Sergei Kislyak, will not be one of those expelled. And they didn't talk anything about what the sanctions, if there are other
sanctions. I'd like to know what evidence they've got. You know, a lot of people think there is no evidence. And Obama himself said this wouldn't stand up in court at least a few days ago. I don't know if he still believes that or not. I don't know. It's news, but what does it, news about what? We'll talk about that when we return to Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we're talking about President Obama has ordered 35 Russian
originally
diplomats. Turns out now maybe they're intelligence operatives. He's ordering them out of the United States because they have allegedly hacked the United States, the presidential election, recent presidential election, and deprived Hillary Clinton of the victory and contributed to the victory of Donald Trump. My understanding is that at least as of a few days ago, people may have some suspicions about this, but my understanding is there is no evidence to back this up. Now, there might be by now, but this is not easily proved, right? And yet, Obama is stepping forward and throwing out 35 Russians. Too bad he doesn't do that with illegal aliens. I mean, he himself was invited illegal aliens to vote and said, there's no problem, you won't be arrested, nothing will happen.
Be a citizen.
Yeah, right. As an illegal alien. He didn't mind. He was hacking the election with the illegal aliens from Mexico, but he's upset because maybe the Russians got involved. And the Russians, I would not blame them for this reason. A lot of people believed that Hillary would initiate war with Russia and if she were elected. A lot of people saw she's the warmonger, not Trump. Trump is, he's a deal maker. She's the warmonger. And a lot of people thought they, if Hillary, Putin himself said that if Hillary's elected, there's going to be war.
You know what this is coming
so
down to?
From my perspective, if Putin said, look, in order to protect ourselves from war, we're going to have to hack into the American election. Well, I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him. I'm not justifying. I'm just saying, look, if hacking somebody's election will prevent a nuclear war, let's hack into the election. Nobody wants that nuclear war. I don't know, and that's where we're going. You have more to read from that article, right, Melody?
Well, I do, but you know what I think it has in relationship to? We also had a, if I can bring it up here, a Syria ceasefire deal that was reached between the rebels and the regime. And we all know that he announced that today. The Syrian government opposition rebels have agreed to terms for a ceasefire in the country's long-running civil war, Russian President Putin announced Thursday. According to Russian state media, TASS, Putin said the two sides had also agreed to enter peace talks to end the conflict that has raged for nearly 6 years.
Yeah.
So,
and they didn't include the United States in that,
negotiation. Do you believe in coincidences that this was released today and now we have the sanctions that were placed on Russia? But of course, they're using the cyber attacks, the leaked emails and so forth, the hacking as the pretense.
Yeah.
So
what we're seeing here, we're seeing news. This is news. Obama's thrown 35 Russians out of the country. Okay, this is news, but the question is it news based on Russians actually hacking into the election and having some influence on it? Or is that just a pretext for something else? Is the story itself, this is, throwing these people out, news, that's happening, that's a fact. But why? That's the second layer of news. Why is this happening? And they say it's because the Russians were interfering in our election, and maybe not. Maybe it's because the Russians are interfering in Syria.
Plus, we also
who knows
know
what it is.
Also, that about Syria, you have the Turkish foreign minister had said earlier that both Russia and Turkey would be guarantors of the agreement of the ceasefire. So again, Turkey, you look at the relationship that has really have fallen apart with the United States. You see Russia and Turkey getting along. And you're right. There's the U.S. doesn't seem to be involved anywhere in there, and we certainly know Obama's history with Syria, with drawing the line in the sand with Russia coming to the support of Syria at that point in time. So yeah, there's I would think that would have a little bit more to, but very interesting.
Very interesting, and what's really interesting, and it's again maybe always it's always been true that we never really knew what was going on, but we at least thought we did. Now we don't even think we know.
And now there, wherever there's an action, there's a reaction. So we'll have to see what Russia's, whether Mr. Putin is or Putin is willing to wait 20 days,
something like that,
to see.
Trump gets in, and he may just shrug this off for a couple of weeks and let it go until Trump gets into office. He might react right now, but what do you think Putin will do? Will he shrug it off, or will he react and retaliate and cause, who knows, 35 U.S. intelligence operatives to move out of Moscow and send them back to Washington, D.C.? What's he going to do? Sit on it, or act?
I don't know. I don't think he'll act. I think he's going to be busy with Syria. And I mean, 22 days is not that far away.
I agree.
So
he's not going to give Obama cause to aggravate this anymore.
No,
I think that would be my guess. He's going to just sit down and say, Obama, you're old news already. We don't need to worry about you. I'm not going to get into a fight over something silly. 35 guys got thrown out of the United States. That ain't going to make the world. Nothing's going to happen unless we overreact and then you overreact and one thing leads to another. Let it go. Let the 35 guys go home. Give them a vacation. Put them on paid vacation. And then we'll see. We'll start all over again after Trump gets into office in a couple of weeks. My guess is Putin will let it slide. May talk about it, but I don't think he'll do anything significant. He might even throw 5 or 10 people out. But the main thing is Putin has to wonder, is he trying to punish Russia right now, or is he trying to incite some sort of a serious reaction in his last couple of weeks in office? It seems insane.
Well, you know
that he tried to start a serious reaction with so little time left. But Obama is representing forces other than the best interest of the United States of America, and maybe his marching orders are get something going.
I think if he was going to incite something, it would have been before the election, because then he could have postponed the election. I don't know if he can postpone the inauguration.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that will happen. I think
no reason
that,
for it.
But he could have. But if he would have incited something prior to, yes, there could have been. You know, he could have postponed the election for a couple months or something.
I don't think so. I think that election is going to take place unless the whole country's on fire.
No,
all right, if there's a nuclear war, fine, we'll postpone the election. But
and I think once Donald Trump gets into office, I think, you know, he'll probably keep some of these diplomats out and let the other ones come back. They'll probably reopen the offices and so forth. But I think that's the part that's really a big deal, to actually close the embassies. To me, I think that's a big deal, I would think, but I'm not a...
Well, did they say they were closing the embassies or closing something like warehouses or office buildings or something that they were using in addition to the embassy? I mean, that embassy is supposed to be Russian soil.
Yeah.
I don't think we can close their embassy without...
There were two Russian compounds.
It's an act of war. When they say compound, I don't know that they mean the embassy.
They were saying two Russian compounds in New York and Maryland, and then a senior U.S. official told Reuters the move would affect the Russian embassy in Washington and consulate in San Francisco. Now, maybe the people, the diplomats, maybe they're housed in the Russian embassy and the consulate in San Francisco, and that's how it would affect them. Maybe they're not actually going to close them, but I think we'll certainly need to get some deeper, more details.
We'll see. All we can say for sure is something's definitely happening. But what exactly that is, I don't know. Do we actually know what happened on 9/11?
They only have 72 hours to leave.
Yeah. So. 3 days. It's a weekend. Weather's getting colder.
Well, you know, there's that.
They may be reassigned to Mexico City or someplace with a little warmer climate, maybe down to Acapulco.
There's that extra second
Cancun.
This year that we have.
What extra what?
Second. Remember the leap?
Oh, yeah, that's
leap
right.
Second.
We have a leap second.
This year.
Mm-hmm. You're going to add a second. I don't know. Everybody's going to have to pull out their wristwatch, and they're going to have to move that little dial. Just turn that wheel just enough to add one little second. I think they'll probably mess that up, Melody. I don't know. I don't know anybody who can handle a second hand on that, on the clock, on the wristwatch, and probably not most other clocks either. Just move it a second. I think it would be best we don't even talk about moving. It'll just confuse people. Was that
Although
a second forward or a second backwards?
Just to recap this and not to take this for another few minutes, but this was out at the same time. The Kremlin says Putin will order appropriate response to U.S. sanctions. Just appropriate retaliation to the sanctions. In a conference call with reporters, Peskov, which is the spokesman for Putin, said Moscow doubted the effectiveness of the measures as the current U.S. presidential administration was stepping down in 3 weeks. So that's pretty much...
Yep.
In addition to the expulsions, Washington closed 2 Russian compounds, blah, blah, blah. That's the same thing we said, and I can't keep saying blah, 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 but...
You could say blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so let's move on.
A little
on.
Variety in saying 3 blahs, you can say 4.
Let's go
or maybe
on.
Just
What's
2.
Next?
Got one here from Market Watch. Headline is White House. Robots may take half of our jobs and we should embrace it. Artificial intelligence is coming and policymakers need to prepare the economy for it. This is from the White House report released last Wednesday. The report, entitled Artificial Intelligence, Automation, and the Economy, suggests that the U.S. should invest in and develop artificial intelligence because it has many benefits, and also educate and train Americans for the jobs of the future. What are those jobs going to be? Changing the oil in the robots? And aid workers in the transition and empower them to share in future growth. That means we're going to have to throw them some crumbs because they're going to be out of work. I look at these war robots, and this article actually made me think for the first time. I mean, I see that these robots are somewhat inevitable. They're ultimately cheaper. They're cheap enough. We talked about it in the past. They expect to replace 80% of the laborers in China with robots. If these robots are cheaper than Chinese labor, I guarantee you they're cheaper than American labor. And inevitably, if you want to stay in business and your customer or your competitor's using robots, you're going to have to use robots or you're going to be run out of business. You won't be able to afford living employees if your competitor is using robots. I can see this. I understood this for some time, and that's nothing remarkable. But you know what crossed my mind? There are people who think that the government just might want to declare martial law. And the problem with martial law, where the government, and I'm skeptical of those kinds of claims. I have been up until now. The problem with martial law is that you can't count on the soldiers you put out on the street to actually be willing to shoot the American people. There'll be soldiers that are just saying, I'm not going to shoot these people. I know these people. They're friends of mine. All right? They're not going to do it. But what if you had robots that you could use instead of military? And they're already talking about this. They're working on making robots to fight wars. Well, that's fine to fight wars, but what happens when they put those robots on the street? Whoever is in a position to control those robots, the robots will not have any moral resistance to shooting the American people. If somebody feeds in the algorithm that says, kill the women, kill the children, kill the men, kill anybody, the robots, hey, they're going to do it. I don't think you can establish martial law in this country with living men and women from the American military. But I can imagine how you could do it if the military was composed of a significant number of robots. Robots could go out in the street and kill without mercy, remorse, whatever, or club or whatever, who knows. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm not presenting this idea as a form of fear-mongering. I'm just saying, wait a second. These robots, this really could get dangerous. Not just inconvenient in the sense that people lose their jobs, but dangerous. You might have them out on the streets. So, Melody, is there a robot in your future? Do you think they'll have them out in the East Coast? Robot, maybe lifeguards on the beach?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
You're going to have to make them out of plastic or something like that. I don't know how you'll get a metal robot to float, but it could be done. I'm sure they're working on it at DARPA.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, that you know, it does have all kinds of consequences, and I mean, it means we have definitely an overpopulation, so that will have to be taken care of. But also, we've read where there will be a single payer to the people from the government, you know, and then we have single payer insurance, and the government will just issue checks for people to keep them quiet.
It will have
and
no intrinsic value.
And they'll just
we'll be giving you. We could use monopoly money. We could use Confederate money. What difference? We'll
the give government the people. Will provide.
Don't have to produce anything. You just go out and spend your monopoly
but
money.
I think they would probably rather see a decline in the population rather than having to send them a check. But
well, we're going to have to contemplate that problem a little more tomorrow. Melody and I are out of time this afternoon. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.